This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 10th of December, 1952. The title of this lecture is Anatomy of the Genetic Entity. This lecture is 61 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
This is the second hour night lecture, December the 10th, and we're continuing here the characteristics of energy as they exist around a thetan. And they exist around a thetan of this wise. But of course, a thetan can handle energy much better than a PC can. So when the thetan is nailed down in the PC, this whole picture is confounded by the fact that, what do you know, the body has a whole set. Furthermore, the GE, well, he's a killer. You know, you talk about Rube Goldberg, how to change the license plate on a car. Little man A takes off radiator cap, which boils over and spills on a cat who runs onto a treadmill. The treadmill winds up a basketball, which drops in the basket. A basketball player. Complete non-sequiturs. This GE has himself some standard and permanent sets of anchor points. And he's evidently got himself or other entities or beings or thetans like him, so forth, posted around at various places. Sometimes one out there, there's one out there, there's one in here, there's one down here, there's a couple there. It's very interesting. It's anatomy. I don't know, maybe there's some out there. I never looked at the anatomy of the GE to amount to anything. I've glanced at it once in a while. And he sort of stretched nets that you would call matrixes and so on. Around to catch things and not catch things and build on and not build on. You'll find that the charge on one side of these ridges is one way and on the other side of the ridge the other way. Now, I won't attempt to tell you in an atomic explosion which side of the ridge is plus and which side is minus, but one side is plus and the other side is minus. What do you know? Energy particles go in one way and they come out the other. Or the whole ridge, I suppose, at one instant along the line someplace would be a total plus if you kept the explosion going, and one instant would be a total minus, and then it'd be a minus plus, and a plus minus. You keep reversing. You know, nothing like change to keep an explosion going. It'd change potential, plus to minus, minus to plus, and become all one for an instant with the ridges being the pull through. Very well worked out system. But you look at these ridges around the GE, and you'll find such things as the motivators, more or less, are accumulated on one side of him, and the overt acts kind of on another side of him. He's gotten himself arrested in terms of an explosion, then he keeps plastering things on the explosion. The whole body is built out of sequences of ridges and very nice patterns. It's all cute and very nice and so on. We could spend an awful lot of time, waste an awful lot of time, talking about the anatomy of anchor points and matrixes, that is, stretched nets and things like that to catch things, which makes up the anatomy of the human body. Oh, we could just spend an awful lot of time on this. And if we did this, of course, we'd be studying medicine. And the study of medicine as such and the conduct of a medical college and so on is generally left to physicians. And in view of the fact that they know their electronics well and so forth, well, we'll just have to leave that anatomy to somebody else. So then there's no sense in talking about basic and elementary electronics. Be no sense in talking about this because that's all fully cared for in the field of structure. Now, when you look at Mr. GE and you realize how he's been compounding and flattening down and squaring around and holding shape and everything else, you would think to yourself, boy, here is a superior illusion. Now, you can get that feeling sometimes about the GE. Sometimes a preacher will get that and there'll be little light flashes appear around him. It's quite an explosive thought. Well, heck, you can't see anything the Thetan is making in terms of mock-ups, and you can sure feel this thing the GE's got. So the GE must have mocked up one hell of an illusion here, because it's got you nailed down, hasn't it? Well, if the GE weren't using messed universe energy, why, that would be one thing. But he happens to be using messed universe energy, and he's just gluing it together a little bit. And he's a process of counter efforts and refining those and taking the next mean point of counter efforts, and his design levels and so on are all built out of service and experience. And he's using joiners. There isn't any disease known to man at this moment which, if let rampant amongst Homo sapiens for the next few thousand years, a few hundred thousand years, but would become a service cell. You see, it's a parasite. It doesn't intend to kill the body, and it's parasitic, and it wants to keep the host alive, and these things get over-enthusiastic, bacteria does. And it gets so enthusiastic that it moves in on the individual, the body, and kills the host. And then, of course, a disease which does that runs in epidemics, sort of ridges, all by itself. And these epidemics kill off so many people that somebody declares war on the bacteria, moves away from the area or something. But in a few hundred thousand years, these parasites settle down, they're adapted one way or the other, they adapt themselves to the host and so on, and they become a gimmigahoojit to better salivaticate old food or something of the sort. They settle down and start to get service. For instance, the phagocyte that rages around through the bloodstream, chewing up every foreign bug that comes along. Boy, he's like a small tank. He goes rolling around the white phagocyte, and he rolls around, and in comes bacteria. Boy, white phagocytes are down there so fast you can practically can't figure out how they could get there that quick. You stick a guy with a needle. If you were to take a blood sample, in the next few seconds, you'd find a lot of white phagocytes in it. They heard emergency, dislocation, zong. They're right down there. Chew them up. If there's any bacteria. Bacteria comes in, lie there, a fight to the death. And the phagocytes best almost all bacteria that comes in. There's quite a few that isn't. I think it was old Mechnikov that discovered these. And their action, and he assigned to them slightly more importance than they had, but he nevertheless pointed up this very interesting thing. But there's something more interesting that could be pointed up there, and that is the phagocyte was probably once, prior to his defensive attitude toward the body, or about the body, and against invaders, probably he was a body attacker. He's done a lot of overt acts against the body. He's not defending it. But this is his house and his space, and it's all made for him, and he maintains it, and he goes on down the line. What do you know? And in the genes and chromosomes and that sort of thing, he makes sure that something gets passed along to the next body. Now, the animation of this body and the GE proper, so on, may or may not follow the protoplasmic line. As far as I've been able to see, skips. I haven't even observed that well. I took a look and kind of looked that way, and we didn't need the data, so the devil with it. He might really go right along with the protoplasm line, and the pre-clears just that I've examined on the thing were just a little bit vague about the whole thing. The survey seemed to indicate that the GE was a being who was skipping along the line. That is to say, he was following along the line, much as the Thetan follows along the line. But this thing that was following along the line might not have been properly the GE. Who cares? All this amounts to. You've got a protoplasm line, you've got bodies being made, and there's a being that takes care of this body, and that being isn't the Thetan. That's all you have to know, because from there on you're processing the Thetan. You do not want to process the GE. You could have a lot of fun processing the GE, and somebody can set it up sometime for a super doctorate certificate. Somebody can set this up. But it's no importance. You'll find a lot of Thetans think it's awful important. They come in there, propitiate, propitiation, 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 propitiation. And GE. They get outside the body and they think, oh, that poor GE. And they got to rush back in and so on. The care of the body, care of the body. Use chlorophyll toothpaste. Pay your dentist 8 times a year. I mean, pardon me, having inspect your teeth. So on and so on and so on and so on. Sure, you want to keep a piece of machinery up, run it into the grease shop and once in a while and stuff something down his throat 3 times a day, but you'd be surprised how much better it works if you don't give a hang how it works. Take it out and throw it in a damp straw and let it sleep and pick it up the next morning and start it on its way. It'd be quite amusing to you what would happen if you stopped babying your body. If you never paid very much attention to how much food you ate, and never paid much attention to how much sleep you got, or anything like that, it'd just be amazing the level of health that would suddenly take over. Oh, you'd go around ready to bite iron bars in half, as far as the body's concerned. Because this body was made to be threatened with death 3 times a day. There's nothing like being brought up to present time. And there's nothing like being threatened with death to bring somebody up to present time. And it practically needs an area shock continually in terms of up to present time. Back in the primordial swamp, I don't know what that word primordial means, but Professor Rumpfcussis always uses it. So when we have this primordial swamp, he walks along there. If a snake wasn't striking at him from this bush and if a rock wasn't sweeping down on him to carry away, or a pterodactyl or something, whatever they are, they would get sluggish, you know, and go back down the time track. Now, proof of this is the fact that nobody ever goes nuts in a bombing. They wait until long after the war. And then they suddenly decide that they don't feel well or they're nervous or something of the sort. And you start running it and so on. You'll occasionally find them sitting around looking at the bomb blast, and you'll find them stuck on the track here and there with regard to it. But that's because of explosions and the fixation which they have on explosions. It's not because the bombing was detrimental. Action is not... It's a very funny thing. But action is not aberrative beyond furnishing counter-efforts and efforts and making new facsimiles with which to build. And as long as a fellow is in action, even the GE can handle the new facsimiles coming in. It's when the fellow isn't in action anymore that he folds up. You take this soldier, he's up there, he goes out of the parapet and kapow, kapow, bang, bang, he over the... and under, and bang, down again, and more explosions going off, and he drops and rolls and so on, and all of a sudden he stops one. Well, if they took him back to the dressing tent, still hear the guns going. Take him back to the dressing tent, bind him all up, give him a little blood transfusion, fix him up, and say, okay, now we hope you'll be a little bit better. You can join your company very shortly. Let's get going. He would actually heal right up and go right back into action again, providing you could let him go back into action without some part of his anatomy is concerned. But that's a funny thing. They can do that. You ought to see some of the troops that the U.S., for instance, has. There was practically wasn't a whole soldier in all of Custer's cavalry. It was one dying of TB, and another one's lost his arm, and there were a bunch of wrecks. And yet they could take a modern company and they could have walked their heels off. A modern company or a cavalry unit wouldn't have known what the heck was happening. Because they didn't, nobody had any fixation on care of the body. A body was something you parked underneath the forage wagon or you parked under a bush and it slept, and you're up and at them, and you're expected to endure hardship, and the philosophy was the body that can endure hardship hasn't any right to live. That was the philosophy of the thing. That fellow was very proud. He says, you know, I carry no frying pan. Fellow's just crossed 500 miles of plains. He carries no frying pan and only one thin blanket. And he carried no rations with him. He lived off the country. And that proved that he was a man. And some fellow that carried a frying pan and had two blankets, boy, was he a sissy. But this soldier, he shot, if you let him recover, right there, ho-ho, comes right out of it. But now let's take him back to the base hospital, and let's put him where it's quiet, and let him have a rest, and let's take care of him, and let's give him, rehabilitation therapy, you know, and let him fix something, and make something a hobby and have people quiet around him. So he goes, meow, crash. Well, they're telling him all the time, you poor thing, you're of no use anymore. And you've got to take care of the body now, so I guess your usefulness is over. The moment a man decides that, his usefulness is over. I've got to take care of the body. You can trace back pre-clear. You say, when did you first start to cave in? It will be on this silly one. Maybe he was just a little kid. But he got awful sick. And he had people around him all the time telling him he had to take care of the body. And he was awful sick. He had measles, but he kept getting up and trying to go around the house and play. And he felt pretty groggy, but they keep putting him back in bed. And he gets up and they put him back in bed. And he gets up and they put him back in bed. And they say, but Johnny, you're awfully sick. He gets up, put him back in bed again, and all of a sudden to hell with it. Was it the measles or being put back to bed when he was in a state of aniten? Was it being handled and positioned, located in space and time when he was aniten, or was it the measles that fixed it up so he had this rash the rest of his life? I'm afraid if they just let little Johnny, he had the measles, so he said, all right, don't go near the other kids because you give them something or other. Just stay away from them for pyrotechnic reasons or whatever you call them. And you just clear away on that, but not limit him in the yard, or even limit him in the house, or limit what he's going to do. Sure, he feels sick. He'll fall on his face a couple of times to pick himself up again. It won't ever occur to him. He's not supposed to use this tool called a body until he's practically convinced with a brick bat. And he gets convinced, he's done. Now, you can look back along the line at the time here in this society when your pre-clear was suddenly convinced that he had to take a rest. He was convinced simultaneously that he was not free to use this body as he chose. And your disability of the body begins from there. The body was meant to be picked up with the scruff of the neck, thrown across the primordial swamp, jump sideways 18 times at the striking snakes, get up in the tree, cut the throat of a leopard that was there before you, and get up just a little bit higher, and then make funny yah, yah, yah noises at whatever was chasing you that made you run through the swamp to miss the snakes, to have to kill a leopard to get up into the tree. And that was routine for Homo sapiens' body. Completely routine. You want to get rid of this being an effect of the body, just use hell out of it. Just say, there isn't any reason why it can't drink all the liquor it can hold. There isn't any reason why it can't run a mile like a quarter horse. There isn't any reason why it should not be thrown around in automobiles carelessly driven. There's no reason why it shouldn't, quote, be thoroughly abused, unquote, straight down the track. Because in order to come up tone scale, the individual will find himself doing that. If he just is brought up tone scale, he'll find himself doing it. And if he just does it, he comes up tone scale faster. He can get there with processing or otherwise. You can get your pre-clear to suddenly say, I want to live. Wham! He'll come right up along the line. How do you say, I want to live? Be perfectly free to use the body in whatever way he chooses. You see, he's actually perfectly free to get the body electrocuted. He's perfectly free to get the body run over by a truck. He's perfectly free to use this body to dig a hole in the ground 82 feet deep, 82 feet on the side, and 82 feet wide, and then fill it up again just for the hell of it. The GE functions when the GE is used. And he doesn't function otherwise. He requires a strong whip. He is so enmested. He's so much messed. He's so close to messed that he only understands one thing, and that is, you will. No back chat. You know, these six compartments of the body, the inner and outer entities and all of this, you can get these things to answer up on e-meters and tell you the darndest things. You know that a fellow's having trouble with his left shoulder and his right shoulder and his small of his back and so forth? Well, why don't you just say, well, why don't you tell these entities to snap to and get busy? And maybe for 5 or 10 minutes after he does that, he just simply commands them to do something or other, or be busy or something or other. He just asserts his command level over him. He's living in the darndest state of being quiet. His body's suddenly quiet. Occasionally some preclear come to you and say, you know, my body just clamors all the time, and it just seems like, or last night I was sitting there and I just heard all these voices talking, and parts of my body seemed to be alive, and one part was arguing with another part, and so on. Sure they were. The entities have gotten completely out of command, out of control. The Thetan who would let a body do that has been fraternizing with the troops. And there is nothing more murderous or upsetting than thinking, well, now we have the great brotherhood. Let's all be brothers on the messed level. The second we're all brothers on the messed level, that makes the entities brothers too. And as soon as they're brothers with the Thetan can't command them, and they don't know where they're going or what they're doing. They're stuck all over the time track. They're stuck in deaths, and they're stuck this way. They're all psycho. And actually, they calm right down, but quick, if you just suddenly say, you will. That's all. No back chat. All of a sudden, the body feels tired. Just take it as a drill sometime. The body feels very tired. Say, to hell with it. And go out and do something that you know very well will probably make it collapse. Because the body feels very tired, so just take it by the scruff of the neck and go out and make it get a shovel and start digging. Sounds nonsensical. You obviously go to bed. And if you have a cold coming on, you know that you should take it very, very easy and so forth and take it very comfortable. Go find some mud puddles and walk through them. Or mock up some and walk through them. Now you get the general idea. This GE specializes in mess, and he has a mess orientation. And by golly, you see that Coke bottle there? Well, now I can stand here and I can say, now look, Coke bottle, let's be very, very calm and so forth. You know you're not supposed to be there, so on, because makes the platform here look tacky, and you shouldn't be there. And I think the best thing for you to do is to please, won't you please move off and go down there on the side of the platform. Well, go on, move off down there. It's not going anyplace, is it? That's because it's messed. No, here's the way to get the Coke bottle out here. All right, you notice it didn't have a word to say. It didn't. It won't even chatter back. There are other ways of handling it. It probably, if it remembers anything at all, does remember being zapped. You can go out to the point of shattering the Coke bottle if you want to, monkeying it up like that. And actually, you start to have enough energy to punish the hell out of something on that level of being messed if it won't do what it's supposed to do. You got to have horsepower in order to handle it, in other words. The GE made himself up this way to be used. He has lost all directional control except the control of keeping the heart running and keeping the breath going and working the muscles this and that way. Now, he can actually do a much better job of running the body than you think he can, but he only does it when he's really settled down on one thing. Who's boss? How would you like to hire as a housekeeper somebody who periodically met you at the door and told you that, well, the house was pretty upset and so forth, and you'd better not come in, you'd better go to a hotel tonight? Yet that's the way most people treat this GE. They go to the hotel. They say, well, it's not my house. The truth of the matter is, it isn't your house. You're a darn pirate. You got no business using this GE's body in the first place. But now that you've assumed the right to use it, and you've gotten that far on let's pretend that you have the right to use it, for golly's sakes, don't be coy about it. If you want the body to operate, operate it. Make it do anything you want to do. It argues, fies, and sputifies, and it says it can't do this and it can't do that, and this has to happen and that has to happen before it can do something or other the dickens it does. This is just command of the body. Now let's look at something a little bit further than that. The body's built out of force. It's made out of force, and it's handled by force, not by reason. Truth of the matter is that halfway up the band, there isn't any reason. You don't have to have a reason. You don't talk anything to anybody. You just use it, that's all. I mean, you do it. You act. You have to be willing to act without reason. And by the way, that's quite a sensation. That's therapy. You know, there's some boys around in the past have given some inspirational sort of fol-de-rol, said, now, the way to reach present time is through action, and you should have action in present time. And that's all there is to it. Now, if you will just act in present time, you'll get well. Well, the fellow is following a pattern, which is rather obvious. He knows no other mechanics in it, and he could beat the drum with this thing and sell it by the bottle. And he'll get some people who are well occasionally. They know no other mechanics than this. Action in present time. I suppose they got that datum through empirical observation. They found out that psychotics that shivered more or shook more or jumped up and down more and so forth probably lived longer after the electric shock. They probably lived minutes longer or something than Freakler who wasn't jumping around. There was some empirical data that gave this. All right. Action through present time. Now, your Freakler will pick that up. He'll go into it for the sake of action. You want him to go on upscale from there, possibly. If you do, you'll just keep processing. But you'll have a rough time of it because he's getting awful tough by this time. So you better get awfully tough as an auditor. You better be twice as tough as any preclear you've ever got. Don't try to handle preclears who are sort of hard-boiled and let's get action and that sort of thing when you yourself are saying, well, I'm doing my noble best. Here we are, all together, and I probably will be left behind because I can't be cleared. If you were operating in that bend, you're sinking yourself awful quick. So, when we look this picture over, we find out that the GE is built out of force, and here we will deal strictly with, deal just with various manifestations hereof. Let's look at the GE head on. Let's look at him front-wide. Look at the body and its built-up ridges and so on that are inherent to it and so on, head on, and we will find out that there's one that goes here and there's one goes here. These are ridges, sort of, more or less through there. And then there's one that goes in through here, kind of. And then there's one that goes here, and then there's one that goes in here. And sometimes some people have one across here. And sometimes there are compartments across the wrists. These are ridges of some sort or another. And sometimes, by the way, there'll be a second ridge out here, wider than the shoulder. Down, might not be as far down as the leg. That's the way the preclear feels they are. Now, every one of those compartments will get a plus-minus basis. They'll run plus in one direction and minus in the other direction. And, oh, it's joyous to behold. You'll get all kinds of combinations. And this is, of course, the central division line AB here. Line AB is a division. One side of that will be plus, and the other side will be minus. If they both became plus or something like that, you don't get body action to amount to anything. And if they both became minus, more or less the same thing would happen. Or if you ground the two out, one against the other, you find the guy starts to have difficulty in handling energy. Or you can just ground them out and flatten them out sometimes. Very interesting things result from this. But over here you might get, you know, more or less often in case, you get a plus and a minus side of the body, two sides of the body. And you get a potential on one side. Then your line AB really is a slice. All of these things are compartments. They're ridges. They're part of old ridges and complexities of explosions. This AB has depth, which I now draw in. Really, it's a plane kind of goes through the body. Now, what that thing is insulation. It's something like you'd put into an electronic gimmick. And you get a plus and a minus on the body. This is a very elementary dissertation on it. But the thing keeps changing potential one way or the other. When you've got a case of stroke, you've got one side of this arrested and it won't change potential. When you've got a stroke on your hands, I mean some stroke case, he's just not operating at 50% of that. A fellow, after he's had a shock, very often isn't operating on 50%, operating on one side. Now you get little minor divisions of this. How do you get minor divisions of it? Well, this slice way out here that we will call location G out here, that might be dead. And the fellow's never noticed it. Now if you turn this body over on the side here, if you turn this body over on the side, you would find more or less the same sort of thing occurred. And you've got side slices here. The most beautiful array of stuff. There's one out here, cuts the face off and got it down there. And one on the back of the head goes that way. In other words, you've got all of these sectional compartments. Actually, they're electronic implants that help put these things in. There's all sorts of reasons back of this. Besides the natural reasons, there's a series of natural core patterns that are the core of this spheres of ridges, this universe. One of those things discharges against another one, back and forth. So you'll get areas that are dead and areas that are overcharged, and you'll get all sorts of strange and peculiar electrical manifestations on the part of the preclear. The essence of the operation of the body is to have these things in a fair condition of insulation so that they will flick plus minus when required, and so the body can be handled by potentials. You're not trying to knock out these compartments like A, B, and so on. If you were to suddenly reach out, way out in front, here, up here, is some kind of an anchor point. Anchor point. And if you were to reach up here on one of those anchor points, you would find out that there's all sorts of structure. Your GE is not a compact item at all. He's just all over the shop. So your anchor points of the body are actually solid in. He's got his own space. The thetan gets quite willing to use these as anchor points. You want to look around for a couple anchor points of the body? How about looking out, way out there somewhere, up there from your body, and look way out here. Just look up in those two points, up in those two directions. Some of you will be able to see them. You've been walking around passing this stuff through doors. It's really quite an apparatus. It's an electrical apparatus. If some engineer wants to build a robot, he's got a good pattern here. and energy exchanges, pluses, minuses, all that sort of thing. Fascinating. Electronic machine, carbon oxygen engine, low heat, 98.6 temperature. Combustion, low combustion. Did you know that you could actually put rotten vegetables in the gas tank of a car and have it run? It will. There's a kind of a car. They used to do this over in Japan. They had a charcoal burner in the back of the car. All you did was dump the charcoal in the back end of the car, and it ran on charcoal. It's kind of cold, and it kind of stinks. And that makes it different than this body. This body in its combustion does not stink. So, anyway, we get this carbon oxygen engine, which is built on electronic principles and which has all these sketch points. Neothetan is in the middle of all this structure. He's right here at the point I've got mark T in most cases. And where I have mark T on this side of me, if you can call that a view. Now, I'm telling you all this because I'm only showing you this structure close up. By the way, did any of you see those anchor points? You didn't see them. It's interesting. Put a mock-up out there in that direction sometime or another. Start to work mock-ups for a little while. Anchor points or balls will show up. The globes. Fascinating. By the way, has anybody got kind of the idea like his body's liable to cave in or something? Several of you have. It won't. It won't. I've mauled this around. I've gone and kicked so-called anchor points around on a body, and I've tried to tear ridges out of the middle of the body, and I've short-circuited bodies. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, when he laid himself together a carbon-oxygen engine, the GE really built one. It'll go through practically anything, even auditing. So, now let's take a little closer view of this carbon oxygen engine, and let's take a view at the crudest manifestation of it, which is all you're interested in. And we'll just do here the head, neck, and back. That's right, and that will be your side view. And here is a front view. Something on this orbit, all right? We're not too interested in this. Will we find your thetan, where I've marked T? In each case, and we have here a right close to home piece of trouble. What bothers the thetan are those things made of his own wavelength. He won't much run into the GE's ridges. But he'll run into his own, and he's got plenty of them. And he's piled up energy around on the body in various places so that he gets himself most beautifully loused up. He thinks he is where his ridge is because he can act where the ridge is. So therefore, he thinks he can perceive wherever he has an energy that can echo. He's not outside when he's doing that. Don't become unsure whether you're outside or not. If you're outside, you know you are, and if you're not outside, you don't know you are. There's no gradient scale being outside. It's absolute, just like everything else. Actually, it's more absolute when you get into it. When you say the guy is out, he does have the sensation of not being the body, and he is outside, and he's free to observe without also observing the body. And you understand what I was telling you about snapping in tractor beams, so on. A tractor beam, snap in here at the back of the head, tractor beam shortens up, the thetan gets in, wham! He's trying to get something out of the body, so another impulse comes over the thing and it shortens this tractor beam. He has a lovely time with that. And he's still carrying around as a pattern here, he's still carrying in a ridge, which we will mark here R1. He's still got one there. Now, around the ear, we have a whole series of ridges where sound is hit. And we will call these R's too. Now, your thetan actually has added to these ridges and hung up on these ridges. Now, we've got another set of ridges, which are across here, and in quite a lot of preclears, we call that R3. That's in front of the body, and R3 on the front view might be something on this order. That's all of Thetan's own wavelength. That's all his own energy. This gets a little bit ghastly, because when he runs into his own energy, then he thinks he is there, and he's not quite sure what the heck he's doing. Now, out here, at a little distance from the head, out here, we have R4. And over here, underneath the chin, we have R5. This is pretty rough. Sometimes it comes up here. And on the back of the neck, going across the back of the neck, we have R6. Ridge, 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 ridge. Now, there's been a heavy flow area in here, and this that I'm putting on is not a shock of hair. This is R7. And that can float in here, and that gets thinner like this. Now, what are you looking at here? You're not looking at an explosion-type set of ridges, really. They only vaguely match up to an explosion-type set of ridges close in, because he's operating close in this universe, at this time, at this moment, in a Homo sapiens' body. So you're getting this peculiar inner structure, and he's very intimate with this inner structure, and he's packed around pretty good, because he figures out he's not very big. Before he's collected together, he thinks he's very big. He might think he's all over the place before he's collected together. Then you collect him together to a point, and he becomes very sharp, and he can observe, and then he starts to get bigger again, and more he can handle force. First condition, he's running away from force a little bit, then he's collected all together, and he can handle force somewhat, and then he can disperse all over the place and handle all kinds of force. So, right close in here, we're not getting quite the pattern that you would expect you would get with the center of an explosion, but it will do for a little tiny set of dots. Actually, this guy goes out for miles. Well, this is just the anatomy of just his little center beingness, right in the middle of what I was showing you earlier. Figure 10. Well, now, that's R4, and of course, this belongs to the side view. R8 is kind of out in front of him like this. Of course, R8 over here on this front view kind of just goes across all the way across here. Right? This is R8 also. Well, there's another ridge with which he becomes involved very easily, and it's that ridge from which he keeps himself disassociated and from which he clamps down the prefrontal lobes to keep the body from thinking. Sometimes in an excess of enthusiasm, the thetan runs into this center point of view of the body, which is in the middle of the forehead and which has been called since time immemorial the third eye. It is the viewpoint of dimension of the GE and the body. It has not very much to do with the thetan. And that's right here, in the front of the forehead here, it's marked with O. And your thetan has a line which I will draw here. Thetan has this line, comes down like this, a dark line. And I marked that line R9. And that line, R9, would lie in the same plane with R8 on the front view. See, that's right straight across. Cuts off the prefrontal lobes and comes on down. It sometimes is quite thin, quite embryonic. Now, inside the head, Inside the head, we have also some motor control setups, and I'm going to draw these in very, very dark. There's one on each side of the head, and that little patch in there is called, it's a whole series of ridges. You could draw a big picture of the inside of the head showing all the energy deposits inside the head. Be quite a test, so we ought to map them someday. That we will call R10. Those motor control areas you start to pick up out of the motor controls. Now, inside the head, there is a division, which on the front view, I am marking with line CD. It seldom happens that more than half of the head is free or clear to the thetan. The other half, as I've indicated here, could be one half or the other half, will be all black. And this all blackness is it's very upsetting to him. He's got a half of his head's hollow and the other's black. Now, when he starts to drag out, quite often your thetan finds himself turning this way and is stuck on one side of the body. He's stuck to that side of the body which has the heaviest head ridge, which I've marked over here on the front view as R11. All right. By the way, I mark again R10 here as motor controls on the front view. R10. And when we get into this anatomy of ridges, what do we know? This whole picture gets terribly complicated by ends of terminals. There are sometimes banana-like things which come into the eye and go around more or less to the ear or the temple. There are terminals which go off of the face and lead off into nowhere. There are old communication lines still hung up way to hell and gone up into space. And I don't know what they're connected with on most pre-clears. I know those that they yank on. Sometimes it practically blows them out of their seats. They yank on one of these lines going up to Lord knows where, and it practically knocks them silly. But you have them grab onto those lines and just pull them loose. It puts them out of contact with whatever they're into contact with. So there's these lines. In addition to this drawing here, then, you've got all sorts of terminals and end of terminals and communication lines and all that sort of thing. Now, these are all energy deposits that I'm drawing you, and they're all more or less on the wavelength of the thetan. And he's trying to pull in his Visio and his sonic and all the rest of this with a little tiny distance. He's trying to pull it in from a 16th of an inch or a half an inch off the terminals in most cases. He's trying to take sight off the optic nerves, and he's only trying to get that much. The optic nerve is a shock thing. If anything blew up in his face, he knows he's safe because it'll already wave and give him warning, and he could get away from the optic nerve, he thinks. Of course, he's so silly that this time, if he's all bedded down like this, he won't know when that optic nerve is going to register, and when it won't, he wouldn't be able to move or get away if he did. Now, he uses the head for kind of a shock absorber. Now, all this is his own energy. You all of a sudden get Mr. Thetan to move out of his head. Now, on a case that's rough, he runs back here into that ridge, he goes boom. If he gets out of that ridge, he's liable to go into that ridge, you go boom. And all of a sudden, he winds up way out in front of the face. You'll find most psychotics are out there about a yard in front of their face. They've blown clear straight through the head, and they're sailing way out in front of themselves. They're not even with themselves. They've run straight on through. That is the last position. Possibly you could match the sanity or level of sanity of a thetan. A thetan's always raving mad, more or less. Anything that thinks he's worse than dead is raving mad. And you could probably grade his position of beingness more or less in this wise. Looking at the top here and giving it figure A up here. Here's a head facing that away. And you have your thetan. At first, when he first started contacting the body, he'd be clear back here and he'd feel pretty big. And then you'd find him in here, and you'd find him in here, and all of a sudden you'd find him in here. And then you'd find him up here, kind of just by the nose, and then you'd find him out a little bit in front of the face, and you'd find him winding him up here. He's sort of on his way. Now this is position. One is the furthest away. Two, three, four inside the head. Five, six. Now those don't compare in any way to case steps. That's just for graphing the position. And this would be over a term of many, many, many tens of thousands of years. He could gradually graduate forward where he was less and less able to control his body from a little distance, and all of a sudden he's down there in the head controlling it. Did you ever see anybody read a newspaper and the print was small, and when they're quite young they read the newspaper by walking in and glancing at it, and the next thing you know they're a little bit closer to it, the next thing you know they're a little bit closer to it, and finally they've got glasses an inch thick and there they are in their white stocking cap reading the newspaper right up close here. They've got to be closer and closer and closer to communicate. Well, he's closer and closer and closer. He's kind of running downhill, see, in horsepower. And most of your pre-clears are about four. I said that's five and six. That's actually positions five, six, and seven. Position four would be more or less in the center of the head, and position five would be almost out of the head. You'll find a lot of pre-clears at five, a lot of them at four. Well, now, this is a heck of a note. You start looking over figure A there, because, well, the guy, when he gets out here, he isn't aware, really, of a body being back there, and the reason he's out here, he's driven. Now, how does it come about that your thetan becomes driven, and what is the sensation and emotion of fear, and why does this occur? Now, let's look at figure B. Let's look at the behavior of these ridges. Here's this hand facing over here to the right. All right, now let's take this ridge here. We just mark it R in the front, and here's a ridge R in back, in front. We got those two ridges, and we've got a head here, we got a thetan here. Okay, now, what happens is he gets a smaller potential, it doesn't matter which way we mark these things, plus, minus, that just means there's going to be a potential. Let's say this ridge is kind of plus back here on this first position, first R, back of the head. And the one in front of the head is minus. Well, we get a lowering of potential of that minus until we get an energy interchange in the direction that the arrow is pointing. And Mr. Thetan gets caught right in the middle of that, and he feels energy flowing, and his whole answer is hold on. So he holds on in the middle of the head, or tries to hold on in the middle of the head, but the energy interchange can flow so fast as to sweep him on forward. And when this occurs, he becomes very upset, and he becomes very uneasy, and he doesn't quite know what's coming off, and is very insecure. Now a person comes along, and he starts to open a drawer. And he opens this drawer, and it sticks. And he all of a sudden flies into a rage, and then it goes into apathy about the drawer and goes away and won't open it. That'd be a very fast curve. Or he comes in and he fiddles with the drawer stubbornly, and he shakes it and he shakes it, and the drawer won't open, and the drawer won't open, and the drawer won't open, and finally he smashes at the drawer and he kicks at the drawer and he works with the drawer and so on, and he finally, and at last, more or less, goes away and grumps about it. He's in pretty good shape. What happened to the first Thetan is, the second he got a little jar of energy being balked, it actually did a feedback circuit right straight into the back of his head and through his motor control, something of that sort, and it started a flow going. And the moment that this flow was started, the Thetan, he, the preclear, had to hold on like mad. And the speed with which he detects the flow, is afraid of the flow, and grabs on and abandons all other action is actually a different thing slightly than position on the tone scale. It's speed of descent. How fast does the emotional curve run off on the preclear? It can run off zing. Preclear is in pretty bad shape that it does that. Or it can go zing. See how that is? So we get one preclear that it going slow would do a preclear that does it very fast. We get the steepness of curve from G to E. And we get over here another kind of a curve, preclear 1. And we get maybe preclear 2 doing a curve which goes down like that. And maybe cuts off it there. And that would be curve RD, no matter what we call it. And this preclear is normally at 2.0, it looks, and winds up here in 0.1. And this preclear starts out at 1.8 and comes down and knocks off, actually, and starts up curve again here at 1.2. See? You get a difference of manifested behavior just by this alone, is how many ridges are on the back of this guy's head that discharge across, and how easy is this Thetan to displace where he is, so on. He gets the emotion, hold it with the muscles, and then hold on with the Thetan. And when the Thetan has to start to hold on, it's because he's scared. When your Thetan is holding on like mad, a low-tone preclear, he's holding on like mad, you say, be 2 feet back of your head. He can't be 2 feet back of you. He's holding on like mad. And the reason he's holding on like mad is obvious. Every time he lets go, he feels this surge of energy, and he feels fear. And this can become so fast. The surge of energy, zing, fear, zing, fear, zing, fear, hold on, zing, fear, hold on. Quick, like that. He'll, and you start to get him out of the body, and you get out of the body, and he'll actually bounce back in again. Out, bang, out, bang, out, bang, out, bang. He suddenly feels a motion of energy. He gets scared, and he has to hold on again. What has he got to hold on to? It's something inside the head. How do you drill him out of it? Very simple. You just do mock-ups of him holding on and letting go and holding on and letting go with his hands or any other way you want to until he's finally feels that, well, letting go isn't too bad, and he'll move out of his head. Now, another thing that you can do is to clean up here all the ridges in front of the face. And you clean up all the ridges in front of the face, and you leave all the ridges behind the head, you're going to change the energy potential, so the guy's going to be subjected to more and more flow through his head, more and more energy flow, more and more energy flow, and he'll get scareder and scareder, perform less and less, and be much more apt to dive back in the head again. You say, what on earth's wrong with this preclear? You've got him in the middle of a hurricane, that's what. It's an energy hurricane. He's discharging from the back ridge, which I've got marked plus, and he's going over to that front ridge marked minus. And if the front ridges were all gone, he'll discharge on anything minus that comes along in front of him, and he'll get very upset in doing that. You understand that? That's quite important. And this, what I've just said about an energy flow going across there, also applies to the back of the preclear. The preclear, small of the back, you have an energy deposit, which let's say is plus, and in front of him you've got one that's minus. Every once in a while, an energy interchange takes place, which causes a flow of energy to go across his stomach nerve, the vagus nerve of the stomach. This hits more or less where the GE lives, and the body gets scared when this happens. And when that happens, you've got a flow, and the body can just get agonizingly sick from this flow, very upset because of the flow going across this front area, and it's to flow, it feels like a flow dispersal setup, and that's fear. That is fear. What is fear? Fear is really a dispersal, which is a series and a various type of flow. Now, when you've got one of these things starting, the fellow tries to keep it in the flow category, and he's feeling this horrible emotion of fear. Across, he's got an anxiety stomach. How do you balance it out? Simplest thing in the world. Let's not unbalance the factors around the body and tear off these ridges and so forth. Let's just do mock-ups of some flows and mock-ups of some dispersals. How do you get him into doing mock-ups of dispersals when he can't do explosions at all? Well, you have pieces of popcorn jump out of a paper sack. You have water splash. Anything like that Or if he's worried about wheels or anything like that, just mock up common automobile wheels. If he wants them to turn, he can't make them turn, put a spot on and move the spot an inch until he can finally turn the wheels. Dispersals, spins, that sort of thing, handle them with their geometric messed universe equivalent as a mock-up, and then make the mock-up stranger and stranger. And that's the way you handle them. And I hope now you know all about it. Thank you very much. Good night.